I remember sitting in my family room on September 8th, 1998, watching a regular season game between the Cardinals and the Cubs. Now, typically speaking, as a Mets fan, I didn't really watch, certainly in the regular season, games of two random teams, but that night was different. That night was the night when Mark McGwire broke Roger Maris's home run record, and it was one of the most exciting nights in baseball history. And that entire season was riveting. The race between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa for who was going to break the record. And then until the end of the season for how many home runs will set the record and who's going to be the person who holds the record. Would it be McGwire or Sosa? And it was just a short while later when it became very public of the use of steroids in baseball. Certainly became clear that both McGwire and Sosa were guilty of this, and almost all the other big names in the game. And there were two big revelations that were brought up. One was the Balco scandal, which was a laboratory where in San Francisco they gave out steroids to professional athletes. That was in 2002 by the federal government investigation. And then a few years later, on December 13th, 2007, Senator George Mitchell came out with the Mitchell Report, which was a 409-page report detailing all the steroid use in baseball, where in that report he named 89 Major League Baseball players who were taking performance-enhancing drugs, including Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit, Miguel Tejada, and Eric Gagne. Now, up until this day, pretty much the people who, without the steroid use, who are probably some of the most famous baseball players of the last 20 or 30 years, they are still not in the Hall of Fame because of their steroid use. And it's something that certainly Bud Selig, the commissioner of baseball, want to make sure very publicly to people to know that there's going to be a severe punishment going forward for people who are caught using steroids, and to let all the fans know that the game is going to be in a pure form, and the game is going to be without cheating once again. And he had to do it in a very public way. In the Parsha, so Korach wants to claim the kahuna. He says it's not fair that basically Moshe and his family basically got everything. And he says, it should be me. But it wasn't just Korach alone. We're told, Vayikach Korach b'entar ben kap ben levi da'asam v'aviram. So Korach got datam v'aviram as well. B'nei liyavu m'pels b'nei revein. And it says, V'anshim neisel chamishim asam nesi'e eda. He got 250 men who were the nesi'e eda. Kriye moed anshe shem. So the Chizkuni, he says, who are these 250 men that Korach got? So the Chizkuni says that he got 23 people from each Shevet, except from the Shevet of Levi, who he was attacking, basically. And he got 23 people from each Shevet. Why 23? Because that would establish a Sanhedrin Ketana. A Sanhedrin, basically, from each Shevet to say that we're going to court, basically, and each court from every Shevet would say that I'm right, and Moshe, you're found guilty, and you and Aaron does not deserve that position. The Ibn Ezra says that when it says in the Torah, Nesi'ei Edah, those are the same people, the same Nesi'im, who are mentioned in Parshas Bamidbar as the leaders of the Shvatim. So it wasn't just Korach by himself, and it wasn't just Korach with any random men, but it was him gathering the most chashuv people. Some of the most respected Jews at the time who were with him, who were swept away and persuaded by him. And so what happened? So it's very interesting because it wasn't settled privately, right? It was something that was very, very public. And they had a test where each of the 250 men, plus Datan Aviram, plus Korach, so it really comes out to 253 people, would take a fire pan, they put Ketores on, and then Aaron would be one person, right? So 253 against one. And whichever Ketores was chosen by Hashem, was offered and accepted by Hashem, that would be the person who's the rightful Kohen Gadol. And this was done in front of everyone. And not only that, but it's interesting because Moshe says, I want you to realize certainly that if I'm wrong, then if one of you is right, one of the 253, if you're chosen, so then yeah, so I'm totally wrong. Everything I've done is not by the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's on my own. I just make it up as I go along. But, he says, Vayomer Moshe, b'zos teidun ki Hashem shlachani la'asos kol ma'aseh me'ila ki lo milibi. You should know that Hashem sent me to do all these things. And if it was Hashem, im kimos kol ha'adam yimusun eile, if you die a normal death, k'das kol adam yipake elem lo Hashem shlachani, then it's not Hashem. However, in Pasuk Lamed, he says, v'im b'riya yivra kadosh baruch hu, yivra Hashem. If Hashem creates a new creation, ufatz ta'adaman, the earth opens up, espia, its mouth, uvala osam, ves kol hasher lahem, and it swallows you up, and everything you have, all your possessions, v'yardu chayim sha'olah, and you fall down, while still alive, into the abyss, v'idatem kiniyaton Hashem e'ilas Hashem, you should know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who sent me. Wow. So a very, very public display, telling everyone exactly what's going to happen in a miraculous way, something which we're told by Rashi, there was never anything like this in creation up until that point. This is the first earthquake recorded in history. And what happened right after that, literally the next pasuk, Vayhi kechal sol ledaber is kol advar ma'ila, right after Moshe finished saying this, that you know what, if I'm right, if Hashem really told me to do what I did, to appoint Aaron, then this miracle is going to happen right after he finishes speaking. The earth opened up below them, just like Moshe said. Every single person was swallowed up, and a wild thing for it to be in such a public way. So why is it that when they rebelled, when they had this opposition against Moshe and Aaron, and in a certain sense against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it that it had to be settled in such a public fashion? When I was thinking about this, so another story in Tanakh came to mind, and we're going to see, certainly there are some differences, of course, we're going to focus on the similarities and the themes between this story of Korach and the story of Eliyahu on Har Carmel. By Eliyahu and Har Carmel, so Bnei Yisrael at that time were serving Avodah Zarah. They were serving Baal. And we're told in Malachim Aleph, Perak Yudchet, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Vayigash Eliyahu es kol ha'am. Eliyahu gathered all the people, Vayomer, Ad Masai Atem Poschim al Shtei Hasi'ifim. Basically, you can't dance at two weddings. Like, you can't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Baal. Hashem Elokim lechu acharav. If Hashem is the real God, go after him. Vim habal, and if it's Baal, lechu acharav. V'lo anu ha'am oso davar. They didn't respond. They didn't answer. Vayomer Eliyahu el ha'am. So Eliyahu said to them in the next pasuk, Ani notarti navi laHashem levadi univi habal arba mios v'chamishim ish. So they made the following also public display, gathering 450 of the Nivei Baal. And each, we're going to offer a korban. So it's 450 korbanos by the Nevi'i Baal. And one korban by Eliyahu. And not only that, but Eliyahu, he had the odds, in a certain sense, stacked against him. He decided, you know what, let me pour water all over my Mizbeach. Clearly, when you have fire that's supposed to consume the Mizbeach, so water is not going to be such an effective tool for getting your korban offered. Forgetting your korban accepted. And he drenches it in water. And all Bnei Yisrael are standing around watching this. And what happens? What's the end result? Pasuk Lamed Chayav. Vatipol Eish Hashem. Vatochal Es Ha'olah. Ves Ha'itim. Ves Ha'vanim. Ves Ha'afar. Ves Ha'mayim. Asher Vata'al Lechecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a fire descend from Shemayim that consumed everything on Eliyahu's Mizbeach. And it was very clear. Next pasuk, Vayar kol ha'am, and the people fell on their face. Vayplu al panim, and the people saw this and they fell on their faces. Vayomru, and we say this at the end of Yom Kippur. Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. So over here, it says it twice. Yom Kippur, we say it three times. But this is the greatest testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the real God. And of course, at the end of Yom Kippur, it's there because after Ne'ilah, after day like Yom Kippur, it's a pure testament to Hashem Hu Elokim. And that's exactly what Eliyahu did. So for sure, both situations, Eliyahu had them, had Bnei Israel watch and see, because they weren't sure, is this is Baal correct, or is HaKadosh Baruch Hu the real God? And so it had to be done in a public setting, in a public fashion. And also, of course, it was in a miraculous way. It wasn't Stam. Just like Korach, the miracle was the ground opening up. Over here, the miracle is that an Esh came down from Shemayim, and even after he drenched it with water, so his korban was still accepted, even though it was him versus 450 Nevi'ei Baal. And the Yesod is that when you have someone who goes up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or goes up against a leader of Klal Yisrael, Hashem has to prove himself in a very public way. And it has to be a miraculous fashion in order that it leaves no doubt for anyone. No doubt for any of the onlookers to say, you know what, maybe Baal's right. Or maybe Korach should be the Kohen Gadol. Can't leave any room for doubt. And we're entering the month of Tammuz. Right? I don't know exactly when you're going to be listening to this, but Wednesday and Thursday is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. And the months of Tammuz and Av are focused on Churban. And by that very nature, because we focus on the Churban Abayis, we're also, of course, focusing on Bias HaMashiach and the Binyan Bayis Shlishi. And we look around at the world, and we can't even imagine how we could go from the current state to fulfilling the words of the Navi, Umala Haaretz Deas Hashem, when Mashiach is going to come, the whole world is going to recognize Hashem. And the world right now is enticed by so, so much. And there's so many taivos and so many distractions. And it's going to take a show in front of everyone to prove to all of them the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Torah, of Bnei Yisrael, and of Mashiach. I think about it a lot. Like, how could it be? What is going to happen to show everyone, so that every single person believes in Mashiach and believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I can't even imagine what it's going to be, but we're told it's going to happen, of course. And it's going to be witnessed by everyone, and just like by Korach and by Har Carmel, it can't leave any room for doubters. There can't be a suffix left in anyone. And we wait for that day to come, and that day should come Bekaruf, so we're able to see Mashiach and have a true, true awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world, and that every single non-Jew should recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. But we don't need Mashiach to come in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Lev Shalem. We are ma'aminim that the Mashiach is going to come soon, and that he could come mamish today, b'chol yom she'avo, and we shouldn't need the sign like the rest of the world does in order for us to know that Hashem is right in front of us, and that every single second Hashem is watching us, and Hashem is listening to us. And Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And over the next 2 months, of course, hopefully Mashiach Shem mamish come right now, but we should strengthen our emunah to think about the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, to think about Bias HaMashiach, and to be excited, and to wait for him to come, and to not need this public display that's going to happen, but to not need it in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper way.